Tonight, another school shooting, this time inside a classroom at a middle school in Los Angeles, and authorities say a 12-year-old girl is in custody. New revelations in the sex abuse scandal at USA Gymnastics. NBC News has learned of a secret email showing the U.S. Olympic Committee knew about allegations against the team doctor nearly a year before the public did.
The Olympic Committee has blood on their hands.
Were abuse warnings ignored? A first-of-its-kind warning from doctors. Treatments to survive breast cancer raise the risk on your heart.
So I was in a state of shock.
What patients need to know. There's new intrigue in a Hollywood mystery. Decades after Natalie Wood drowned, a police investigator calls her husband, actor Robert Wagner, a person of interest in her death. And panic on a plane, fire erupting in the cabin when a phone charger suddenly explodes. Passengers jumping into action.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening and welcome to our viewers in the West, and that is where we start tonight. In a country virtually numb by the frequency of school shootings, what happened in a Los Angeles middle school today came as a stunning shock. A 12-year-old girl in custody accused of bringing a gun into the classroom where shots rang out, striking some of her classmates. Five people were injured, one left seriously wounded. And tonight, distraught parents who spent part of this day anxiously awaiting word about their children are asking why. Our Steve Patterson is in Los Angeles now with late details.
Terror inside a middle school classroom.
Shooting 1575 West 2nd Street. A better location is Kasser Middle School.
Shortly before 9 this morning, police responded to reports of a shooting at Sal Castro Middle School. Police detained a 12-year-old girl and recovered a weapon.
We do not know yet how our young person on this campus ended up having the ability to have access to a firearm and bring it onto a campus.
Police say five were wounded, including two students struck by gunfire, a 15-year-old boy and a girl. The girl shot in the wrist. The boy rushed to the hospital in critical condition after being shot in the head. Doctors say he's now expected to make a full recovery.
This child was extremely lucky. The trajectory of the bullet did not hit any vital structures that were an immediate threat to life.
So far this year, there have been 9 school shootings nationwide. Statistics show boys are 3 times more likely than girls to carry a weapon. Every parent's worst nightmare.
A lot of kids are injured, and I feel really bad for them.
Today in Los Angeles, they waited for any information about their loved ones.
Just going to panic. You don't know what to do. There's no news from the school, and everybody's just here waiting to see what we can find out.
Campus was on lockdown for hours as police swept the school, patting down students. Now, investigators are asking how a 12-year-old was able to get a weapon into school in the first place and why it went off. Of course, questions now swirling about the motive, including whether or not the shooting was targeted or even intentional. Investigators now questioning that 12-year-old girl and other witnesses inside the school to determine a motive. Lester.
Steve Patterson in Los Angeles. Thank you. Turning to another big story now, as Team USA prepares for the opening ceremony of the Winter Olympics just a week from now, we've learned of a secret email showing a top U.S. Olympic Committee official was told of the sex abuse allegations against Dr. Larry Nassar far earlier than the committee previously acknowledged, more than a year before the story would go public. NBC senior national correspondent Kate Snow has the new details for us.
For the women who've spoken in court and their attorneys, today's revelation is a bombshell.
They've engaged in a cover-up of the worst child molester perhaps in American history.
Nearly a year before the public would first learn about accusations against Dr. Larry Nassar, a top official at the U.S. Olympic Committee knew. The head of USA Gymnastics at the time, Steve Penny, sent an email to the current chief security officer for the U.S. Olympic Committee, Larry Boondorf. The email detailed what a private investigator hired by USA Gymnastics had found. A source described it to NBC News. USA Gymnastics has recently been made aware of potential sexual misconduct committed against one or more of its national team athletes by a member of its medical staff. It went on to name Dr. Larry Nassar and described graphic allegations from 3 unnamed gymnasts we now know were national team member Maggie Nichols and Olympic gold medalist Michaela Maroney and Allie Raisman, who's been questioning what the U.S. Olympic Committee knew.
Why has the United States Olympic Committee been silent?
According to a spokesperson for the USOC today, Bundorf never told anyone else at the USOC about the email because he was told not to share it. The email was labeled highly confidential, and USA Gymnastics had told the U.S. Olympic Committee the FBI was handling things.
I represent close to 30 little girls who were, you know, young teenagers who were molested after they received that email.
Emma Ann Miller was treated by Nassar in 2016.
I'm possibly the last child he will ever assault.
And even though Nassar has pleaded guilty and already been sentenced in two cases, in a radio interview today, his attorney, Shannon Smith, questioned whether the 265 accusers were actually molested.
There is a huge part of me that does not believe that every one of those girls was victimized by him.
Nassar later distancing himself from his own lawyer, saying the attention should be on the statements of these victims. Kate Snow, NBC News, New York.
Less than 72 hours until the kickoff for Super Bowl 52, but this year new concerns as one of the biggest events in all of sports collides with the worst flu season in nearly a decade. And today we also learned this season's flu shot is even less effective than previously thought. NBC's Katie Beck now with the extreme measures they're taking in Minneapolis.
Are you ready?
Super Bowl madness in Minneapolis has 8-year-old Henry Walter wide-eyed, but in the thick of a brutal flu season has his mom, Sarah, watching out for germs.
We'll be washing hands and sanitizing and kind of very mindful.
As the flu continues to tackle health, filling hospitals across the country, concern is high about spreading illness at the biggest U.S. sporting event of the year.
We're all kind of nervous about being out with this many people.
Sanitizing surfaces for the 65,000 fans expected Sunday and close to a million at surrounding events throughout the week. More chances to get infected, says one of the nation's top infectious disease experts.
It's not a one-hit wonder here. It is a whole week of one-hit wonders.
While doctors have been telling us the defense is a flu shot, today researchers reported in Canada vaccines this season have been just 17% effective overall and only 10% among working-age adults.
It's essential we have a new and better flu vaccine.
But with flu shots making pharma companies big profits, there's little incentive to invest billions in research for a universal vaccine offering more protection.
It's money, and it's also the leadership, just who's going to take charge of this on a global basis and actually help bring this through.
This week, the flu struck Patriots cornerback Malcolm Butler after several trips to the hospital. He's cleared to join his team on Sunday, fighting for a victory and to stay flu-free.
I'm good now, man, 100%.
Here in Minneapolis, event organizers are taking extra precautions, disinfecting and wiping down whatever they can, telling fans to wash their hands often and bring their own sanitizer, because as these studies show, even those with the flu shot aren't guaranteed protection. Lester?
All right, Katie Beck, thank you. Over the strong objections of the FBI, President Trump is expected to approve as early as tomorrow the release of a controversial secret memo, according to a senior White House official. The president has now read the memo, aides say, and one White House official tells NBC News that the White House is still reviewing possible redactions, but leaning toward not making any. The memo, compiled by House Republican staffers, is believed to allege anti-Trump bias within the FBI and Justice Department. The FBI opposes the memo's release, expressing grave concerns about its accuracy. Democrats call the memo an attempt to undermine the special counsel's Russia investigation. Tonight, an important warning for the more than 3 million breast cancer survivors in this country. While they are surviving at unprecedented rates, which is obviously good news, there's another health risk to be aware of. Doctors say some breast cancer treatments can put you at greater risk for heart disease. And NBC News correspondent Rahim Ellis has the details to discuss with your doctor.
The treatments that save women like Connie Hagen from breast cancer may also damage their hearts, says the first major report on the link between the two diseases.
We have never talked about what it was doing to our heart. So I was in a state of shock.
Today, the American Heart Association said women over age 65 are more likely to die from heart disease than breast cancer. Doctors warn 3 to 4 months of chemo and radiation can cause heart failure and patients to gain 10 pounds and lose 30% of their fitness.
Having the conversation early about their cardiovascular risk makes all the difference. And that's why prevention is the key.
Today is Connie's first appointment with Dr. Susan Gilchrist, who runs the nation's first clinic for breast cancer patients to treat cardiac risks like high blood pressure and obesity with a healthy diet and exercise.
I have a grandson for the first time, so I want to be around to experience some of the years in his life.
While doctors agree the benefit of cancer treatment still outweighs the risks, the message today, be sure to take care of your heart, too. Rahima Ellis, NBC News, New York.
Now to a stunning new revelation in America's deadly opioid crisis. Congressional investigators say a tiny town in West Virginia was overprescribed painkillers at a staggering rate over the last 10 years, enough for 6,500 pills for each resident. NBC's Gib Gutierrez is there with the latest in our continuing series, One Nation Overdosed.
Nestled in the hills of Appalachia is Williamson, West Virginia, population 3,200. But investigators say in little more than a decade, more than 20 million prescription pills were sold here, an average of 6,500 per person.
How readily available are these pills in this part of West Virginia?
They're everywhere.
De'Ara really Warricks is now in recovery after years of agony.
It was awful because you want your pills. You don't want your marriage. You don't want your kids. You want your pills.
The House Energy and Commerce Committee has just sent letters to two regional drug distributors asking why they oversupplied this town and others.
They're making a fortune off of our downfall.
One of those distributors, H.D. Smith, tells NBC News it operates with stringent protection of our nation's healthcare supply chain. The other, Miami Lucan, says we are working very closely with the committee to address their questions.
It sends these towns into a death spiral.
Mark Troy is an attorney who has several pending lawsuits against drug distributors.
Who's to blame here? Is it the drug manufacturers? Is it the pharmacies? Or is it the doctors?
Yes, yes, and yes. It's a gigantic problem.
We went to the two Williamson pharmacies mentioned in the congressional report, just two blocks apart.
Hi there. Kate Gutierrez with NBC News.
One refused to speak to us. The other declined to go on camera, but the owner told us she thought the congressional report was misleading. She said the family-run business served not just Williamson, but a large surrounding area, and that it filled legal prescriptions.
It's feeding everybody's addiction, you know? They got to be getting it somewhere.
De'Ara Warricks, now in treatment, has hope that shining a light on this epidemic can help her and this town.
Tonight, there is frustration here as to how this community was flooded with pills. The Congressional Committee says it will continue to investigate, and Attorney General Jeff Sessions has just launched a crackdown in the coming weeks to try and stop the oversupply of opioids across the country. Lester?
Absolutely stunning revelation. Gabe Gutierrez, thank you. Still ahead here tonight, the mystery that's baffled Hollywood for nearly 40 years. What happened the night screen icon Natalie Wood drowned? And what's driving the new intrigue surrounding her husband, actor Robert Wagner? Also, after a woman tried to bring a peacock on a plane, another airline is cracking down on emotional support animals. We are back now with that new intrigue tonight in one of Hollywood's most compelling real-life mysteries, the death of Natalie Wood. Ever since she drowned decades ago, questions have lingered about her final moments. Was her drowning an accident or something else? All these years later, a police investigator is calling her husband, actor Robert Wagner, a person of interest in her death. NBC's Blake McCoy has the details.
You see, my mother's...
From child star to silver screen icon.
I feel pretty, oh so pretty.
Tonight, renewed interest in the mysterious death of actress Natalie Wood. In a new interview with CBS News 48 Hours, LA Sheriff's investigator John Carina says actor Robert Wagner, Natalie's then husband, remains a person of interest in her death, now more than ever.
As we've investigated the case over the last 6 years, I think he's more of a person of interest now. We know now that he was the last person to be with Natalie before she disappeared.
He bases that on new interviews with two people from a nearby boat who say they heard the couple fighting on this yacht the night she drowned.
The coroner at the time noted bruising on the body. Wagner, who's now 87, hasn't commented in years.
We came to the conclusion that she had slipped on the swim step on the aft end of the boat and had hit her head and rolled into the water. Tragic, tragic night.
What happened on that boat remains the source of much speculation.
people love a mystery, and this is a great quintessential Hollywood mystery involving a beautiful movie star who died under undetermined circumstances.
The only other people on board, actor Christopher Walken and Captain Dennis Davern, who spoke to Today after the case was reopened.
I made mistakes by not telling the honest truth.
Was he responsible for her death?
Yes, I would say so, yes.
An old Hollywood mystery that tonight remains just that. Blake McCoy, NBC News, Los Angeles.
We've got a lot more to tell you about tonight. Coming up, the sudden explosion inside a passenger plane. Scary moments caught on camera. And Shopping Wars, the new service Target is launching in the battle against Amazon and Walmart. All right, let's tell you about a new salvo tonight in the war for your shopping dollars. Looking to battle back against the likes of Amazon and Walmart, Target is introducing same-day delivery of some 50,000 items via the Shipt app. That's S-H-I-P-T. Stores in Birmingham, Alabama, and South Florida got the service today. And by the end of the year, so will your Target store. Maybe you heard the story of the woman who tried to bring her emotional support peacock on an airplane. Well, after United told her no, the airline is tightening the rules on comfort animals. Starting March 1st, owners must vouch that their animals have been properly trained and get health and vaccination forms signed by a veterinarian who must also confirm that the animal poses no risk. Delta announced a similar crackdown last month. A scary scene caught on camera aboard an Aeroflot flight in Russia. Smoke and flames tearing through the cabin after a phone charger exploded. As you can imagine, that caused quite a bit of panic. Passengers, though, stepped into action. They rushed to put it out any way they could, some stepping on it, others grabbing water bottles to douse it. Thankfully, nobody was hurt, but not a good place to have a fire break out. Up next, if there's any place, up next, your sneak peek at the ads that will have everyone talking from this Sunday's Super Bowl. We'll be right back. Finally tonight, for many, they're the best part of the Super Bowl, the commercials. And this year, companies are spending more than ever to capture your attention. Here's Jolene Kent with your sneak peek.
From superheroes,
long live the king,
to titans of industry.
Lex lost her voice. How is that even possible?
Big names are going for big laughs this Super Bowl Sunday.
I'm the luckiest!
And advertisers are forking over big bucks.
Wow.
With an estimated 110 million Americans tuning in, there's no bigger audience anywhere. This year, a single 30-second spot went for a record $5.05 million.
Hi, Cindy.
This year's major theme, unity, steering clear of polarizing politics and the sexier ads of years past.
Advertisers are actually playing it pretty safe, that they're leaning towards either humor or kind of trying to touch people and make them feel good, as opposed to getting towards anything that could be kind of a third rail topic.
Some companies are using the big stage to show off their charitable side. Two beer companies spending millions to tout their work providing water to disaster-ravaged areas at home and abroad. Other advertisers are going off the beaten track. Skittles is promoting an ad that won't be shown on TV at all.
Because they're only showing it to one single person.
They say they'll screen it to a teenager in California and live stream his reaction on Facebook to drum up social media buzz.
Every advertiser who's putting the money in for a Super Bowl ad is trying to figure out how to make the most noise around that. And so that's why we're seeing a lot of gimmicks roll out.
Grabbing viewers on multiple screens, a touchdown for advertisers. Jolene Kent, NBC News.
That is nightly news for this Thursday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.